Proverbs chapter 15. Chapter 15. We started here last week in chapter 15, or maybe it's a couple weeks ago, I don't know. Chapter 15, yeah. We talked about a soft answer, turns away the wrath. Now we're here. Let's drop down to verse number 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Let's pray as we get started. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this night. Thankful for these folks that are here, the kids and those in the back and discipleship. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless what we're trying to do here at Heritage Baptist Church. Lord, we ask for your hand and your guidance and your leadership. Lord, this is your church, and Lord, we want to be what you'd have us to be. And Lord, I pray as we study your word, you would give us a desire to know it, or give us leadership in directing it and teaching it and preaching it and all the things that are set before us. And we'll give you thanks and praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Number one, it's not the what, it's the why. It's not the what, it's the why. Listen, we can't just... We cannot just do right things, that's the blank there. We cannot just do right things and expect God to be delighted in what was done. Okay, now listen, I didn't say we can't just do whatever we want. I said we can't even just do right things and expect that God's going to be delighted because we did some right thing. And we're going to develop that a little bit. So you're looking, you're thinking, well, no, that actually makes sense. We should. No, listen, we're going to get there in just a moment. Listen, even in the way of making a sacrifice for God, okay? So just because, and there's several passages in the Bible that talk about this, but just because we sacrifice unto the Lord doesn't mean the Lord always receives that, right? Rather than sacrifice, what would God want? Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, is what he's saying. So, A, under that, if the sacrifice is made from one that is wicked, it becomes an abomination to the Lord. Now, okay, who is the wicked? Sometimes we want to define things real clear so we can get black and white. You know what I mean? We want to know what does this mean and what does this mean? Sometimes we can do that real well. Sometimes we can define who this is. We talk about unbelievers. We talk about believers. We're talking about Jews and Gentiles. We can talk about certain things. The wicked here, these are Proverbs. Okay? Proverbs gives us some wisdom. It's not a law. It's not a, every time this happens, it's not necessarily a cause and effect. But it is giving us a direction of wisdom. And so wicked probably means most of the time the lost, but it can also mean the one that's not doing the right thing or one that's doing it for the wrong reason. Somebody that's, can a saved person be living in sin? And what might we call that person? We might call them wicked. You know, so you say, are you saying that's what it is? I'm saying there's not enough there to say whether we're talking about just the lost. I'm going to tell you what, if somebody's not right with God, they're not following, and as it says there in verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he that loveth him, but he loveth him that follow after righteousness. Can somebody that's saved, can they be an abomination unto God? Certainly. There's certain things that could be done. Not them, but what they do. Okay? I was reading some different commentaries, different things about these passages, and some people say God hates the wicked, and I disagree with that. I don't think God hates the wicked. I think he hates wickedness. I don't think God hates them. If God hated you, you'd be dead. God wipes out who he hates. So God, thank the Lord, he doesn't hate us, but he does hate the things that we'll do and their abomination. God abhors some of the things that we will do. And there comes a day when the judgment comes. So let's get past that. Now, B, there is no reward and no value to the one that gives to the Lord that is not living a life that follows the Lord. Do you understand? There's no value. Just be, well, look what I did for God. Listen, if we're not following God and we give a gift, a sacrifice, some praise, something to God, but we're not following Him over, there's no value in that. Right? It's kind of like maybe a husband and wife are fighting. They're getting mean and saying nasty and saying, and at the end the husband says, "Yeah, but I love you." That don't help. Probably he better duck because the shoes covers. I don't know. Now I'm not saying that doesn't usually happen in my house, but I'm just saying, no, never. But my point is this: there's no value when we're not following the Lord. Matter of fact, let's get to number two. The contrast here is between this. A, the wicked and the upright, okay? The prayer of the upright. It says, and then B, the wicked and he that follows after righteousness. So we have these two contrasts, and as I've said in these chapters that we're looking at here, these are the contrasts of what's being used a lot here. So B, I already did that. So large capital B. This is a common theme and instruction in the Word of God. This thing of the abomination of the wicked and the delight in those that love Him. It's a common thing. Keep your place there. We're going to get back to, but turn over to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21.
It did. Is it going up here?
Oh, man. Yeah, she'll get that, because if I got to be glued to here. No. Okay. So Proverbs chapter 21, verse 27, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind?" So what we find here is this. A, this is more about the heart and the mind than it is about the sacrifice itself. You understand? God isn't as interested in the thing that's being sacrificed. I'm not saying it's not at all, because God is very interested in what's being sacrificed. Matter of fact, when they were talking about sacrifices in the Old Testament, what kind of lamb was it to be? Spotless lamb. You couldn't just take any old lamb that you had. Right? You couldn't just grab, you know, matter of fact, if you're thinking about just burning something up, you'd probably actually be thinking about the one that's least valuable. Right? That would have the least amount of possibilities of it being used. And so you would go from that respect. So God is interested in the sacrifice. Right? God is interested in the sacrifice. But he's more interested in the heart of the one sacrificing. We can't do what we want to do, live how we want to live, and then say, "Well, I'm going to come and give penance." Right? I don't want to say live like the devil. I can't live like the flesh. And then say, "I'm going to go and say, yeah, I'm sorry, God. Here you go. Here, I'm going to give a little extra in the offering. Right, I'm going to go do this thing." That doesn't work like that. It's an abomination. So listen, does God need, that's B, does God need our sacrifices? I mean, listen, is there something missing that God must receive from us? I mean, it's a very obvious question. Turn over to Psalm. We're going to be in the 50th Psalm. I said, we're going here. I said, this is a theme throughout the Bible. We're not going to hit all of these because we'd spend the whole night here. But Psalm 50 and verse 7, he said, I'm going to give just a second. Let y'all get there. Psalm chapter 50, or the 50th Psalm, in verse 7. He said, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Listen, can I just say this, folks? Certainly, God doesn't need what we think to offer Him. I've heard people through the years say stuff like this. They say, "Well, you know, I had this fella, he got saved when he was 60, I think he was 62, 63 years old when he got saved. And he had a father, his father-in-law, he would say, 'Well, you start going down to church, all they want down there is your money.'" This fella never went to church. He said, "All they want is your money." And he got the idea that maybe that's what he was... And I thought, man, you know, what a tragic thought to think God needs our money. I mean, I'm thinking about a God that needed my money is in trouble. I've told y'all before, and I'll say it again, I'd go into these Chinese restaurants, they got the Happy Buddha there, the big Buddha, and he's sitting there and whatever, and there's coins all over, and you're like, what are these coins for? I like to ask him, what are these coins for? Well, they're for good luck. Then why are you putting a quarter up there? If I'm going to buy good luck, I'm going to put a $20 bill. You know what I mean? If we're talking about good luck in business, and I like to have fun. I said, "Do you believe that?" "Oh," I said, "No, you don't, because you put quarters up." I don't tell them that. I go a little ways with it, and then I leave them alone. But listen, be under that. We only demonstrate that we are following Him when we offer to God anything. Listen, God, people like to argue about the tithe. People like to argue about it. "Well, I don't think that's New Testament. That's Old Testament." You know, there's always been this thing. I don't think that's... It's always people that don't tithe that argue that it's not the tithe, right? It's always funny. "Well, I don't really think it's, you know, God doesn't want the tithe. Now it's just grace." Yeah. Now what God says, He said, you know, our reasonable service as we give our life. That's our reasonable service. So instead of the 10%, He wants the 100%. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's go back to the whole concept. But if we're going to deal with it, maybe we'll deal with it someday in the future, but the tithe started before the law. It was during the law. It was after the law. And we even see Jesus say in the New Testament that you ought to have done, but to do more. So, but here's the thing. Imagine people thinking the tithe is something that God needs from us. No, God doesn't need our 10%. God could fill us with... I mean, He could fill our property with oil if He wanted to. You know, He doesn't need... You know, He owns all this world. This is all His. Here's the thing. When we give to God, when we give a tithe or we give an offering to God, what we demonstrate... It's not... We don't give it to Him to try to get something from Him or this. We demonstrate that I'm following Him. I demonstrate that He's my God. And I believe Him. But if our heart is not for the Lord, it becomes something completely different. So if my heart isn't connected to the Lord and when I'm giving, and it's just a thing that I'm doing as a transaction, look at verse 16. He says, "But unto the wicked, God saith..." We're still in Psalm 50, verse 16. "But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth?" He says, "Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him. and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Can I tell you, folks, God is not just an answerer of prayer, though He is that. But it's so much more than that. Look here, number two. I jumped ahead. God is delighted by our prayer. See, listen, God says when He says there in verse 23, He says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show salvation of God. Listen, God is delighted. Can you imagine to delight God? The God of all creation, that there's anything that this one little ant worthless of a speck on this planet, that I could somehow do something that would, can you just even imagine? I don't know what a delighted God looks like. I don't know, but I would just want to imagine if, when somebody's delighted, I don't want to minimize God to just this, but I mean to put a smile on His face. Can you imagine? I don't know. I'm just kind of stretching this a little bit. Y'all understand? Just go down, clear out a place and talk about it just for a moment. But imagine God smiling, and that's mine. I did that. I delighted Him. I don't know what it looks like, what delighted God looks like. I don't want to try to go too far into this, but I'm just imagining there's something that says that we can delight the Lord. He's delighted by this thing. Back in Proverbs chapter 15, it says it there in chapter 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. So, I said this, sorry, I jumped ahead and said it, but God is not just an answerer of prayer. We could sometimes reduce God to the big guy in the sky, the big man upstairs, right? I hate all those things. When somebody says, yeah, you know, the guy, the fellow upstairs, I say, oh, y'all got a second floor here? I don't want to speak of the God of all creation as He's in the attic. He's not sitting on a rocking chair just waiting to dole out gifts to us. So much more than that. He's not just the answer of prayer. Number one under that, He is delighted when the righteous pray unto Him. Can you imagine that? Just, I don't know, maybe that doesn't catch you the way it catches me, but to just delight God, and it's not, by the way, of what I'm giving Him, what I'm doing for Him, but it's that I would come to Him in prayer and seek Him. And we got these lists of things that come, and just, you ever just sit there and just regular part of the day and say, God, would you just come to God and say thank you, and would you help me with this? I probably spend more time asking God to help me. There's a lot I need help with. I don't know. Sometimes you ever feel guilty that, man, all I ever do is ask God for stuff. But then I realize that's what He wants me to do. So I ask God for it. I should praise Him more. Well, but what we find throughout the Scripture mostly is the Lord telling us, seek me. Seek me. I will deliver thee. And God wants us to come. So listen, I'm not saying we should spend some time in praise and we should spend some time in worship, but the bulk of our prayer life is meant to be, God, help me. Would you help me? And God says, when you come to me, when the righteous come to me, it's my delight. It's like a little child coming and say, hey, can you help me with something that's really easy for you? And they're like, I can't do it. Can you help me? Yeah, I'll help you. And God, and kind of just makes you feel good. I don't think God just gets to feel good. Sometimes we want to try to put God in what we imagine, but He is so much greater than that. But all I know is this, the Bible tells us it delights Him. Number two, the book of Revelation even tells us that these prayers are kept in heaven. Keep your place there. Let's look back in the Revelation. So there's Genesis, Exodus. No. Just go back to the maps and head left, and you'll find Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So what does that look like? Well, you read the same thing I read. I don't know. I don't know what it looks like, but there's some way that says somehow there's something there that can be contained. I don't know. There's a lot of, in the book of Revelation, there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of picturesque things. But it tells us here that God has those. They're there in heaven, the prayers of the saints. Isn't that kind of amazing? Well, you can't send it ahead of you. Well, yeah, you can. There is something we can send ahead. Prayer. You say, can you imagine? I don't know what that would look like. Could you imagine when you got to heaven? I'm just, y'all with me tonight. We're getting a little off script, but I'm just saying, you get up into heaven and you hear something. Like, well, that sounds like my voice. And you're listening, you're like, that was my prayer I prayed, 20, 30 years ago or last week. I don't know what you say. Is it going to be like that? I don't know what it's going to be like exactly. We just have a little pinhole that we're seeing through here. But we know they're there. We know they're there. By the way, it's not every prayer that's ever been prayed. It's those that are following righteousness. Man, what an amazing thought. Number one, these prayers will be part of the setting off of the tribulation period. Look in Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Man, I'll tell you, this was such a solemn occasion that just stopped. Wow. Silence can be deafening at times. They were. I don't want to get into too much of this, but they were looking. Who can open this scroll? Nobody can open this. And so there's one. There's one that could open it. And Jesus came and he opened it. And when he did, all heaven went silent. Verse 2, and I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So now he's mixing in some incense with the prayers of all the saints in this golden altar, right? Not a brazen altar, which talks about judgment. Now it's a golden altar that's in God's presence. And which was before the throne. And verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices. See what I said? That's where I got that, what I said. Maybe we're going to hear our own prayers coming back. It's going to be up there. There's voices, but there's also there was thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. Whoo! I'm telling you, he said, all this is about to happen. And the tribulation period that's going to come on this earth, that's going to end all these things that's going on. He said, our prayers are going to be mingled with the incense, and the fire from the altar is going to be there, and it's come up before God, and it's crashed to the earth. Oh, man, what's that going to be like? I don't know. I'm just saying, it delights God. The prayers of the saints are valuable to the Lord. Number one, maybe that's why when the wicked attempt to mingle their prayers with them, it's an abomination to the Lord. Let me pray for you. I've had people all the time, not all the time, but I have people on occasion will come and say, you know, you're going to some place and they're going to have some company or some business, and they get some different kind of fella or some lady or somebody up here that's going to pray over this thing. And, you know, I'm not going to join in prayer. That's it. You know, you say, well, you should, I don't know. I don't know what to do in that case. They start praying. I'm going to pray to you separately, Lord. I'm not joining in that stuff. You say, well, how do you know they're not saved? How do you know they're not righteous? I'm just saying the whole situation. You ever been in those situations where it seemed wrong? Something ain't right here, and I'm not going to join it. I'm not going to get up there and be ugly about it because I want to keep a testimony, but I'm thinking I'm going to do my own thing over here without that. Listen, God says those things are an abomination when the wicked want to present something. And listen, I've heard some people in the White House and in Congress, and they'll get up there and pray. If you call it prayer, it's a political speech with their eyes closed, but they probably have them open because they're reading a script, and they're saying a bunch of stuff of you know how it's so good that everything is equality, and they'll just go on all kinds of a rampage and pretending it's a prayer. Man, I don't want. I've seen others though, and I've heard others get up there in that same place without a script to just cry out to God. And listen, folks, I don't know, but the reason it is an abomination to God, it's those that are wicked, far from God, trying to intermingle. You say, so what do we do? If we're not right with God, do we stop praying? Hey, listen, you say, what if I know I'm not right with God? I'm not following in His righteousness. I know I'm outside. I know I'm living in sin. Should I stop praying because it's going to be an abomination? How about, I got a better one. How about we repent? Right? How about we repent? And when I realized, by the way, if I realized I'm not right with God, That's the Spirit of God doing that for me so I can get to that. God doesn't want to just, if He wanted to cut you off, you'd already be, if God wanted to be to cut you off, He'd have cut you off before you'd have thought about Him cutting you off. You understand? And so if we get in that place that we're there and we're in wickedness, or we're far from, or we're not following, we're over here, and listen, we say, I don't want to pray anymore because it's going to be an abomination. Really, you got more trouble than just praying. Because God showed you the way and you've rejected. Listen, number two under that, the saint, the believer who is following after righteousness is a delight to the Lord. The A under that, that doesn't mean that we have gotten all things perfect. It means we're following after the Lord. Hey, listen, are we saying God is only delighted in perfect people? Hope not. No, I don't believe that's what the Bible... I don't hope not. I know that's not what the Bible says. It's the same way that the Apostle Paul said. Look over in Philippians. I know we're turning a lot tonight. You say, I thought we were in Proverbs. Well, we're talking about a proverb. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul said this to the Philippian church, the church at Philippi. Chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Listen, he said, I haven't got there, but I'm going to keep pressing towards that. Number three, we're going to be a little bit late tonight. The wicked have nothing to offer. Back to Proverbs 15. And we're going to be finished it out there. Proverbs 15 and verse 8 and 9. And let's read them again. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. So I said number three, the wicked had nothing to offer. I didn't clarify that word. Their sacrifice of prayer is empty. It's empty. But number one, but worse, it is gross. It's gross. It's an abomination. Under that it says, even his way is an abomination. And then number two, the Lord asks nothing from, listen, the Lord asks nothing from the wicked, nor can accept anything from him. God doesn't ask anything from the wicked, and he doesn't accept anything from him. The wicked doesn't come and offer to God some sacrifice, and God says, okay, I know you're wicked, but hey, that's a good gift. No. Listen, God doesn't... I should say, that one receives the gift of God through Jesus Christ. You can't give a gift to God until you can even be presented. Right? Imagine one trying to go into, in the Old Testament, in the book of Esther, when Esther walked in, there was a risk that if the king didn't put forth his scepter, she'd be dead. So they had prayer and fasting going on, that when he came in, he would put forth the scepter, otherwise he's gone. Listen, when a wicked person, and I'm talking about an unsaved person now, comes into the presence of God, by the way, they couldn't get there anyway, they can't even get in. They can't offer anything to God until they receive the shed blood of Jesus Christ as the payment for their sin. What a wonderful thing. Three, we do not ask those outside of Christ to fund the work of God. That's why when we have our garage sale, we don't take that money and put it into our offering so that we can have a church service. We pay our utility. No. We did that and we said we're going to use that to do some community thing. We don't ask the world to fund the work of Christ. Right? Nor do we seek their service in the work of God. And I know this can be strange to some people. This can be a strange thing. Well, you know, they can help us. They can help us. Listen, and I don't mean we need to be ugly about these things, folks. But we're not looking for people that are outside. That's why you say, well, how do we know whether? That's why folks we say to serve, you'd be a member of the church, right? To be a member. You know, some people help, and we have other things that aren't really ministry that people. We let anybody bring food. Amen. 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 Okay, that's meant to be a little bit of a joke. All right, thanks. I'm serious, right? No. But I mean, but we're not going to have somebody in here that's outside of and say, well, they have a really great thing to bring to it. No. Listen, they're living in abomination. Listen, and the last one, B, until they will follow him. Then they will also just with us be his delight. Isn't that something? The same here, the wickedest, is that a word? I don't know, it's a new word now. The wickedest of sinners can find their place right along with us before God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Because the fact is, we were all like that. We were all an abomination to God until we received. Listen, I want you. We're about 5 minutes late. I think we're still within the window of the hour. Listen, I want to leave us with this. God's delighted. God is delighted when we that are following Him are following after righteousness. The prayers that we give, He's delighted with it. I want you to think about that this week. Think about when I'm praying. I'm doing pretty good. No, I don't mean that. I mean think about, wow, Lord, this is exactly what you want me to do. What a wonderful thing. Father, I pray that you'd help us. Help us tonight, and Lord, as we attempt to take your word and understand it and apply it in our lives and take these pieces of wisdom, and Lord, we might realize that, Lord, you're so delighted in our prayers to you that you keep them. Lord, the condition that the Scripture gives us to, we find here, to keep those prayers in that vial is that we would be following you, following after righteousness. And Lord, maybe tonight our hearts might be convicted to follow after righteousness. And then maybe tonight, Lord, we're convicted to spend a little more time in filling up that vial. Lord, I don't know how all that works, and yet, Lord, we know tonight that it delights you, and Lord, we certainly want to be in that category. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way, Lord. Pray that you'd give us your direction, your hope, and Lord, pray that you'd bless all that we do for you and through you and with you and in this church. We'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.